Amen. Jehovah reigns. Do you believe that this morning? Two things from this weekend that affirm to my mind, again, that Jehovah reigns. That's true, whether I believe it or not, but it's wonderful to believe that God is reigning, God is ruling, God is the same. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's especially important to remember in these times, because we are in very disorienting times. I've said that many times in the last 2 months to you. This is very disorienting. It's sort of strange to be here under canopies and umbrellas. It's not even raining. You guys are holding umbrellas. It's not even raining. So that seems kind of strange. We're outside in the backyard. We have a portable baptistry here today. That's sort of strange, right? A lot of strange things that are happening around us. Two events from this weekend that I want to mention to you that just affirm to my soul that even as things are so uncertain and so disorienting, that God is the same. His work continues on just as He purposed and planned it from all eternity. Remember that God has declared the end from the beginning. Isn't that amazing? He has declared the end from the beginning, and His work continues throughout the time between the beginning and the end. So the first event was yesterday, to see Matt Bell and Priscilla Huffman be joined in marriage, to see God's work of the very first thing that God did socially in history was to bring Adam a wife, Eve. They were bone of bones and flesh of flesh. And then sin entered the world. And it's not till you get to the very end of the story of the Bible that we see, again, marriage in all of its glory and in all of its perfection. But Jesus, entering our hearts, turning our affections back toward Him, has given us as an example of a faithful husband pursuing after a bride and then bringing her to Him. And then Jesus is the power of our marriages to be able to live in sinful conditions, to be able to live even with the presence of sin in our own hearts and minds, and to subdue that and cause us to live in love, in sacrifice, in deference to one another. And so what a blessing that Christian marriage is. And to see God bring Matt and Priscilla together, I'm just so, so thankful for that union. And I look forward, in fact, a lot of our members are still over there in Chattanooga. And so it's good to have the visitors today, because many of our members are in Chattanooga and in other places around there. It's such a blessing to witness that yesterday. Look forward to bringing Priscilla back here and having you all get to know her much better. And then the other event is this event today, this baptism, to see God. He has fulfilled His promise to make a particular appointment with each one of His elect, to turn their affections toward Him, to open up their eyes, to see the depravity that is within, and to find a hope in Jesus. And it's a tremendous blessing when God does that at an early age. And so Daddy and I had the blessing a couple of weeks ago of sitting down in Ryan and Cassidy's house with Marissa, and in hearing her testimony of love for Jesus Christ and of a recognition of the presence of sin in her own life, and really for a person of her age, a very eloquent testimony. And so I look forward to you hearing that testimony as well. And then her grandfather is here today, Brother Brady Thompson, and he's going to baptize Marissa, Lord willing, in this baptistry that was built by Ronnie Ewing, and Casey Anderson was sort of the assistant off the scene, helping him with the idea for this. And so I just praise the Lord. This reminds me of India baptisms. This is how we do it in India, in a concrete sort of reservoir in the middle of a goat of a field. Sometimes goats are all around as well. So look forward to you seeing that today. But before that, Brother Zach's going to preach for us, and then Brother Brady's going to come say a few words as well. So, Daddy, you come on. Okay, if I get excited and take this mic away from my face, some of y'all holler at me here. I'm pretty bad about that. I'm just thrilled to be here today. I'll say something about those goats. We really need a goat here because I baptized somebody at Ongim one time in a concrete irrigation tank. Right before I baptized, a goat came right out of that tank. We probably won't have it happen here today, but I am thrilled about Marissa. I want you to be in prayer. You ought to always be in prayer more than you probably are. We all ought to do that. I've been preaching for ordained minister for 53 years. Now, I love to preach, but it scares me to death also. I always hope it does scare me to death a little bit, because a man can't really preach unless he has the Spirit of God. He might give a lecture, but he can't preach. So I'm going to give you a verse you need to remember all the time over in Ephesians 6:19. Paul said, "Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador, that therein I may speak boldly." And all the So I hope you'll be in prayer today. I had a real good time studying my subject. I hope God will bless me to deliver today with the same spirit that I did study. I want to preach from Proverbs 25:25. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." That's a beautiful text. You can kind of know where I'm going right now. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so it's good news from a far country." I want to talk about good news from a far country. And you know, if I can preach today and you listen, we will be refreshed. We don't know what real thirsty really means, hardly. Maybe you have a few times in your life. But we live in a desert place, and went a long time without drinking, we're just dying of thirst. I've been a few times when I was thirsty. And I mean, that water revived me. And that's what the gospel ought to do to us. I hope you're thirsty today. In fact, God gives promises to those who are thirsty that He will quench their thirst. Sometimes I think we don't get very thirsty, but I hope God makes us very thirsty, and this will be cold water today, a good news from a far country. You know what we are? We're strangers and pilgrims. I'm going to talk about that far country. And I'm going to read, first of all, from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. Let's turn over there. Hebrews, chapter 8. Chapter 11, verses 8 through 16. Okay? You know, we're heading for a far country. This world's not our home. You kids may have a hard time believing that. The older people may know better. This world's not our home. You'll never be totally satisfied here. That doesn't mean we won't have a good life. Even now, God has richly given us all things to enjoy. God wants to enjoy life. He's put us here to serve Him. So we should not be pessimistic. We need to be enthusiastic. The Apostle Paul said, "I labored more abundantly than they all." But he still is not satisfied here. You'll never be totally satisfied here. Don't get your roots in too deep. Let me tell you something. You're not home yet. You're not home yet. Someday you'll be home. We're heading home. We're strangers and pilgrims. And I said something about marriage. And one thing that thrills me about a husband and wife who love God, like Judy and me, we've been married now almost 51 years, and what we are, two pilgrims traveling home together. Be careful who you marry. Marry somebody that believes what you do, that believes in Jesus Christ. You can travel together in the yoke going toward home. And it's fun to even talk about what we'll get there, what we'll find when we get there. But let's look over in Hebrews chapter 11. I'll begin in verse 8. "By faith, Abraham..." And by the way, Abraham is a type of a child of God. So we can learn a lot of lessons from Abraham. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should ask to receive for inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went." Abraham had to live a life of faith. You and I have got to live a life of faith also. Something we just don't know. We just got to serve God the best we possibly can. "By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Let me stop here just for a minute. Remember this, will you? Two things characterize Abraham's life. These two things ought to characterize every child of God's life. One of them is a tent, and the other is an altar. When we think about Abraham, think about a tent and an altar. A tent speaks of temporary existence.
We're not home yet. So he had to pitch his tent, but almost every time he went somewhere and pitched a tent, he had an altar. That's our life, to live a pilgrim life and to always base our life on worshiping God. So remember, in your mind tonight, when you go to sleep, you think about that tent and the altar. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. Now look at this. This is what we ought to be doing. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, which builder and maker is God. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that holy city. I hope I'll look for it more and more as I get older. I hope you will also. In fact, you know what the last prayer of the Bible is? The last prayer of the Bible is, Jesus Christ said, I'm coming. Behold, I come quickly. The last prayer of the Bible is, even so, come Lord Jesus. And you know, when things get kind of bad in our lives, we do get that way. We meant to undergo persecution. I don't really know whether we will or not. But when things are getting bad, we get more homesick. I think one reason why God lets things happen to his children as they get older is to make them, Brother Bobby Pope said that one time in a sermon. Why in the world does sometimes God's people have some of their worst trials at the very end? He said, I believe that they're getting homesick for heaven. God's winning them away from this world. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, when delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now get this, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But I love these next three words. I want you to pay attention to these next three words, these verbs. This is how we ought to be. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. And my friend, we have not received our promise yet. God had promised eternal life to his children. We haven't received them yet. Not yet. It's a sure promise. We haven't received it yet. So what should we do? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That's number one. Having seen them afar off. You see that by an eye of faith. I love what it said over 1 Peter, talking about Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. You like? I love that. I've never seen Jesus Christ yet. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you know what? If you read 1 Peter in that context, in a context of suffering, a context of persecution, they still rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me quote that again. That's 1 Peter 1:8. Whom have you not seen, talking about Jesus Christ, whom have you not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So number one, they saw the promises afar off. And number two, we're persuaded of them. Are you persuaded of that? You know, sometimes we read our Bibles not carefully enough. We just get through it in a hurry, don't we? Sit on top of some things like that. Be persuaded of these promises. I believe the promises. I want to think about them. Then I want to be persuaded. And then number three, they embrace them. They embrace them. That belongs to me. That belongs to me. That's not just some lecture Brother Zach's giving. That's not some speech he's giving. This is the truth of the Word of God. So they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them. And then what did they do? Confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. I make that confession. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. You know who a pilgrim is? He's somebody who's not home yet, but he's heading for home. You know, John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress about a child of God who wasn't home yet. He's heading for home. So they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Are you seeking that country? I know Brother Bobby is. We pray together every week. And as Brother Bobby gets older, he's seeking that country more and more. Right, Brother Bobby? More and more and more. This earth holds less joy for him than it has in the past. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, or if they had returned, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Once they came out, they might have opportunity to return. But get this. But now they desire a better country. That isn't heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. Isn't that glorious? My friend, we're strangers and pilgrims. We're heading home. We're looking for a country. Now, if I'm a stranger and pilgrim, it's going to have an effect upon me. So I'll look at a few scriptures here that I've got to talk about this. It's going to affect the way you live if you're a real stranger and pilgrim. If you're, you know, the world's ungodly we live in. It's getting more and more ungodly all the time. It's just unbelievable. Some of the things we're seeing now, I would never thought we'd see. Some of this transgender stuff, other things like that, hatred of Christians and all that. All kind of entertainment, all kind of things to seduce us. But if I'm really a stranger and pilgrim, have got my eye on glory, it's going to affect the way I live. Let me give you a text. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Now, friends, we're sinners. Brother Zach's a sinner. I've got a sinful nature. I've got a dual nature, like you have if you're born again. There's civil war going on, and will be till I die. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, neither contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That's the story of us as children of God. You know, I was telling Marissa about her great-granddaddy, Brother Bobby Poe. Brother Bobby said this one time in a sermon. When he got converted, he made a vow he'd never sin again. That's a great vow. He couldn't keep it, but it was a great vow, wasn't it? That's how God's children feel. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. We want to serve God. We don't like it when we sin against God. I'm glad when God makes us sorry. But we're strangers and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lust. You've got them, folks. We've all got them. Different kind of people maybe are seduced by different kinds of lust. We live in a filthy world. Don't be so molded by the entertainment media. We're entertained. One guy even wrote a book, Entertaining Ourselves to Death. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now, let me give you another text. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. I love this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation, and that word conversation there means citizenship. We get the word politics from the Greek word. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the United States. I love what she used to be anyway. I love what she ought to be. I pray for her all the time. I still pray God bless America. And he knows what I mean when I say God bless America. It's been a thrill to me to go overseas, come home, and come to, say, one of the, where we land, and have a big sign, welcome home. I get tears in my eyes. I'm a citizen of the United States, but much more than that, I'm a citizen of heaven. That's where my real allegiance is. That's my real allegiance. Our conversation is in heaven, which also looks to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at another text. So what I'm talking about is now, I'm going to tell you in a few minutes some good news from a far country. I'm trying to emphasize right now, we're heading for that far country. I'll tell you some characteristics of it in just a few minutes. And I hope it'll be cold waters to a thirsty soul. You'll be refreshed and strengthened. When you're really thirsty, you get kind of weak, you get dehydrated. It's bad to be dehydrated, isn't it? You know, I'll just tell you, this won't cost you anything extra. I'll tell you how important water is. Back in that 1967 war, the Six-Day War in Israel, more of the Egyptians died of dehydration than of war wounds. The Jews didn't die. You know why? They did some research. They found out when you're in that kind of climate, you got to be hydrated. They had those guys drinking a quart of water every hour, those Jewish soldiers. And the Egyptians didn't realize what that dehydration is. My friend, you don't know what spiritual dehydration will do to you. You stay away from church a while, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you're going to be spiritually dehydrated and you're in bad shape. Then you're going to have some hydration. And I hope into God this today will be some hydration. A good shot of it, I hope. Good news, my friend, from a far country, I don't care what this world holds, how many COVID-19 we got or anything else, I am looking for a better country. I want to be refreshed to think about that. So, over 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, but it knew him not. It should not surprise us that the world doesn't know us. You know, it's amazing. The world's always been sinful, but it hasn't always been as manifestly sinful as it is now. It's becoming more and more manifest. You know, if you even look at maybe a little bit. My friend, genuine Christianity is hated today. It's just hated today. Alec even told me today about some terrible thing. John MacArthur went to meet in California today at his church. And President Trump said, go ahead. But the ungodly governor of California didn't want him to meet, even though the liquor store were open and other things were open. So he got the Ninth Circuit of Appeals put an injunction out they could not meet. The hatred of Christianity. We should not be surprised. The world knoweth us not and knew him not. Beloved, we now are we the children of God, the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Isn't that glorious? I'll be conformed to his image. I can't imagine how that's going to be. We won't be God, but we'll be conformed to his image. It's going to be amazing. Looking for these new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We can't imagine what our resurrected bodies will be like. Even right now, you know, your body is perishing. As you get older, you'll find that out. You kids enjoy your energy now. Use it for God. I can't do what I used to do. I wish I could. I can't see as well as I used to see. But you know, one of these days, I'm going to have perfect vision, better than I've ever had. I've told these music people like Harris, they're going to be octaves above and octaves below what you have now. You don't know what sound is yet. I'm not kidding. We will have glorified bodies and on a glorified new heaven and new earth. Read Romans 8. I ain't got time to go over it right now. Look at verse 19 through 22. The glorious liberty of the children of God. A glorious environment. If you really knew how good it was, you'd want to go right now. That's probably why God lets you see how good it is. You want to go right now. Don't be afraid of death. A child of God should not be afraid of death. Best thing that ever happened to you. The day of your death, the best day of your life, that's the day you'll see Jesus Christ. He'd overcome death. He'd abolished death. The Bible says, has brought life and mortality to light through the gospel. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. The funeral of a child of God is a celebration. Yeah, we're brokenhearted and sad, but not as those who have no hope. Kids, you'll give your mom and daddy up one of these days. I gave up my mama in 1960. That's been a long time, hadn't it? I gave up my daddy in 65. And I was sorry, but not as those that had no hope. I knew I'd see them again. I'm getting close to that time. I'm looking forward to it. Because they lived the kind of lives that proved they were children of God. They're in a better country. I'll join them one of these days pretty soon. Anyway, what should effect that should I have on me? Verse 3. Every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You keep your mind on God, you'll want to live a pure life. You realize that the sins of this world are counterfeits. Solid joys belong to the children of God. Don't go for the devil's counterfeit. All right. Well, all right, let's talk a little bit now about this better country. Let's talk about this better country. Let's talk about this far. It's kind of far. Maybe not as far as we think it is. It's just as close as our next heartbeat, but still kind of a far country. Let me give you some good news. I'm going to give you a summary and then read a few verses, okay? What's some of the things in that country, that far country? Well, Jesus Christ is the right hand of God making intercession for us. Do you hear what I said? Jesus Christ in that far country is the right hand of God making intercession for his children. That means he's praying for you. You might say, nobody pray for me. Jesus is praying for you, the Bible says. Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Isn't that good? Last verse of Isaiah 53, he makes intercession for the transgressors. And I'm a transgressor. He's praying for me. Let me tell you something. Go read John 17. I've talked about that a lot at Grace Chapel. Read John 17. Read it today. Read John 17. You know what that is? It's Christ's intercessory prayer. That's Christ's intercessory prayer. He prayed for his children. It's an example of how he's praying in heaven now. Read it. He wanted you to read it because he said in verse 13, he said it out loud on purpose that they could hear it. He wants you to read it. You know what the good news is of that? I'm not overdoing this. Are you a sinner? Sure you are. Have you made mistakes? Sure you have. Have you let God down?
Sure you have. But let me tell you about John 17. There's not one bad, negative things he says to his father about any of his children. That's what he's doing right now. How can he do that? Because he died for your sins. They don't exist as far as he's concerned. That's the good news of the gospel. I'm going to try to quote this. I may mess it up, but I'm going to try to quote it. I love it. You've heard me quote it before. You ought to memorize this. It'll do you good. My Advocate by Martha Shell Nicholson. I sinned. Behold, straightway, Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God and made a running accusation there. He said, this soul, this thing of clay inside, has sinned. It's true, he's named your name, but I meant his death. Because thou hast said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Shall not thy sentence be fulfilled? Is justice dead? Send down now this miserable sinner to his doom. What more can righteous ruler do? And thus he did accuse me day and night. Every word he spoke, oh Lord, was true. Bad news, right? Then suddenly one rose up from God's right hand before whose glory angel fell their eyes. He spoke. Each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. The guilty sinner dies. But wait! Suppose his guilt were all transferred to me, that I paid his penalty. Behold, my hands, my side, my feet. One day I died and paid his penalty. He might appear faultless before thy throne. Then Satan flew away. Full well he knew he could not prevail against us love. Every word my dear Lord spoke was true. Brothers and sisters, that's our advocate. That's our advocate. Isn't that great? I love that. We have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I remember one time Thomas Floyd said this. I'll never forget that. I won't give him credit. He said, brother, we're in pretty good shape. He said, our lawyer is the judge's son. He's already paid our fine. How about that? My friend, our lawyer, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. He's already paid our fine. He's the advocate. That's a pretty good news for far country, as far as I'm concerned. I say I'm a wretched sinner. Man, I tell you, the older I get, the more I hate my sins. I cry like the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I'm not depending on my righteousness. I'm depending on my advocate, who right now is the right hand of God, making intercession for me. All right, you know what else he's doing? He's pouring his spirit out on us. I hope we have a revival. We do have revivings. We may have a real revival. My wife had been praying. She's a pretty good little prayer warrior. We do have a lot of fun praying together. Do you guys get in there and start praying to your wives more? She had been praying. We come back together. People be standing in line to get baptized. Well, two prayers have already been answered. We've already seen two precious children. They're getting baptized. So I hope we have a revival. I hope you have a revival. I hope I have a revival. Hope we'll appreciate more what we've got because it's been taken away from us. Hope you'll be more zealous than you've ever been at the house of God on every occasion. Hope you'll love your brothers and sisters more. I hope you'll be revived. My friend, if we're revived, it'll be because God, the Holy Ghost, is reviving us like he did on the day of Pentecost. Let me read you. Jesus now, he's in heaven. I'm talking about good news from a far country. We know he's been an intercessor for us. What else is he doing? Let's read over to Acts chapter 2, verse 33. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. He's right there now. He's the right hand of God. Isn't that amazing? There's a God-man in heaven. There's a God-man in heaven. Stephen saw him, didn't he? He'd been stoned to death. I bet those stones didn't even hurt anymore when he saw him standing beside the throne of God. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye see and hear. On the day of Pentecost, where that came from was Jesus Christ was at the right hand of God pouring the Holy Spirit out on his church. I hope he'll do it again. Listen, my friend, God Almighty is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or even to think. That's what the Bible says. We limit Him in our minds too much. We ought to expect more out of Him. I like one expression that William Carey had. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. That'll put energy in our blood, shouldn't it? We can't do it on our own, but we can by the Holy Ghost. Listen, I know that the rulers of this world are ungodly. We know that. But so what? Guess who rules them? Guess who rules them? Who's really controlling this world? That coronavirus is not out of control. I don't like it. We're asking God to stop it. He can stop it anytime He wants to. But I tell you, God controlling that, God doing something. God, if we can see things from God's perspective, we wouldn't be down. We look at things from our perspective. Look at what it said in the Ephesians letter, chapter 1, verse 19, 20, and 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, He raised Him from the dead, set Him in His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only this world, but also that which is to come, had put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What's that saying? God controls everything. There's a lot of powerful rulers who are shaking their fist in God's face, but they're going to cease one of these days. In our Bible reading, Judy and I have been reading lately in the book of Exodus. Pharaoh thought he was tough, didn't he? Big old tough Pharaoh. Great, big, tough Pharaoh. Who is God? I should obey His voice. He found out, did he not? Did he find out? It's a bottle of Red Sea, right? Who is God? I should obey His voice. You know what God said to him? Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, my glory might be declared throughout all the earth. All the wicked, my friends, shall be put down. We're on the right side. We're winning now, and that will be manifest one of these days. So thank God for that. All right, let me just give you a few more scriptures. I'll be through here. I'm enjoying this myself. I like to think about that far country myself. That's good news to me. I feel better already. I feel like He gave me a little hydration here. I get a little dehydrated sometimes, get kind of down, get a little pessimistic. Look at the news too much. These talking heads. These pundits, I don't know what you call these guys. These spinners, these liars. Let God be true, every man a liar, right, Brady? Hallelujah. Who's winning? We're winning. All right. Listen, folks. How much money have you got? The economy may be getting pretty bad. We got guys been losing jobs. Thank God they got them back. Jerry got one. We praise God for that. Some of y'all may be hurting worse than I know. You may hurt even worse. But I'm telling you what, you're rich. I hope Bill Gates is a child of God. I got my doubts. In fact, I know he's not right now. Well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know his heart, but I know he stands the wrong kind of stuff. He got a lot of money. Can you imagine $1 billion? You could buy Cali every day and never even miss it. Every day. Harris, you could buy a house every day and never miss it. $1 billion to $1,000 million. But I'm telling you something, if you're born again, you get something better than that. So he won't take a dime with him, not a penny. We brought nothing to this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out, Bible says. But you're rich. I'm not just trying to make a good speech. I'm not a good speechmaker anyway. I'm going to read you what God's Word says. I'm going to read you what God's Word says. That ought to make that for our country precious. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection from the dead, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that good? Let me do that again. Inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved for you. Listen, You think you would like to have a prettier house? You know, we thank God for the house we got, but Gene and I did a lot of walking. We like to walk down Galloway Golf Course because, well, I appreciate those rich people keeping their yards up for me. But I'll tell you this, I can't believe those houses down there. But you know what? God tells me, I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. In my house, my father's house, are many mansions. Don't you think Jesus Christ is a pretty good decorator? What do you think? What do you think? Brothers, I don't know how it's going to be. It's going to be better than you can imagine. We have an inheritance. You've got a personal inheritance. It's not something just big old glob. This is an inheritance. Every child of God has got a personal inheritance waiting for them. It fadeth not away. It's reserved for you. You. Your name's on it. Your name's on it. Brady, I don't know where your name's. Brady, you're not in heaven. It may be. But anyway, your name's on it. Isn't that great? Brother, this is the Bible. For God's sake, believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. Let me say something else about heaven. Oh, what an event someday. What an event! My daddy's waiting for it. My mama's waiting for it. My baby, I lost in 1999, waiting for it. They're with bated breath. All the saints who've gone before are waiting for this great event. It'll happen, I hope, pretty soon, don't you? Over in 1 Thessalonians. The Lord himself shall descend from where? Heaven, that's the far country. With the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And get this, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to bring them back with him. He's going to bring them back. Yeah, I can't wait. How long? I don't know whether pestering the Lord or not. How long is he going to be, Lord? How long? He's on time. He'll be on time. You know what he's waiting on, don't you? Peter tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. He's simply waiting on the last elect child of God to be born and then born again, and then he coming. I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know what kind of thing it will be on, what race that will be, what ethnicity. I don't know. He got children, every kindred, tongue, and people. So that last elect is born in this world, and then born again, he's coming back again from heaven. So let me give you a couple of verses. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be waiting. We ought to be waiting and looking. I'm going to close on this. We need to be waiting and looking. We need to be waiting for him. Look what it says over, and that means with anticipation. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. To wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us for wrath to come. Are you waiting? Are you waiting? I think sometimes, friends, God's got a way of making us wait. You know what? Sometimes some of you may be going through some pretty tough time right now. Some sorrows. Well, listen, God can sanctify those sorrows. It may seem bad to you, but the Lord said, look, what I got to do, I've got to wean away from that to something better. So wait with anticipation. But not only that, look. See what I mean, looking. This is over in 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, I want to read a song to you. If you get your song book, you might want to turn here. A great song. Somebody called my attention to this week. I got a dear friend, preacher friend, who sends out a devotional every day. He just mentioned this, and I've read this song before. It means more to me than ever before. This is number 303, Child of Grace. There are a lot more verses in the PBH, but these are the three pertinent verses, so I'm going to read the one here, the Old School Hymnal. Ready? The Child of Grace. How happy's every child of grace that feels his sins forgiven. This earth, he cries, is not my home. I seek a place in heaven, a country far from mortal sight. Yet, oh, by faith I see the land of rest, the safe delight, a heaven prepared for me. Oh, what a blessed hope is ours while here on earth we stay. We more than taste the heavenly powers
and antedate that day. We feel the resurrection near. Our life in Christ concealed. And with his glorious presence here, our longing hearts are filled. When he shall more of heaven bestow, and bid my soul remove, and let my trembling spirit go to meet the God I love. With rapturous awe on him I gaze, who died to set me free, and sing and shout redeeming grace in vast eternity. Friends, that's good news from our far country. I hope it'll be like cold waters to refresh your soul. And amen. God bless you.